This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
From what day you may find out, certain people not like me. Everyone crocus bag a thing now. Makes true me, I do it like Nike. But me not for guy, you know. No matter how hard them a spike me. Me just a go and do me thing now.
Talking Heads with Nati is brought to you by the Bahamas Out Island Promotion Board, Burger King, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, the Cleveland Clinic, Fine Threads, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Games, Prince Masters, and Tropical Gyros.
No food, clean water for drink up. No me and the dog, them a link up. Big truck, 20 inch rim, there's a spin up. The pioneer just a kick so, and a hip hop apocalypse. You can't see the star to the tint up.
You got it locked and loaded to the Tuesday, June 4th edition of Talking Heads. Your boy Naughty in your company right up until 6 p.m. Probably be joining us in the 5 o'clock hours. We talk sports, but it is Tuesday. And as you know, each and every Tuesday, we go to Grand Bahama for the Freeport Report. Great supplement each and every Tuesday in the Guardian, courtesy of the Grand Bahama News. Getting you caught up with everything in Grand Bahama. Great supplement every Tuesday, like I said, in the Guardian. And of course, you'll be able to chime in. We'll be touching base with Serby and Darren Cooper in short order on the flip side of the break. All right, and here's how you chime in. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. That's here in New Providence. Toll free in any one of the family islands, 242-300-5720, 242-300-5720. Text lines powered by BTC, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Stream us live. Take us wherever you want to go. GuardianTalkRadio.com. That's GuardianTalkRadio.com. Cable channel 969, BTC Flow channel 612. That's how you get it in. That's how you get it on for fresh news, smart talk all day. Right here at Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Quick break. Flip side of the break. We'll be back at you. In the 4 o'clock hour, we'll be picking up the conversation with Sarah Kirkby and Derek Cooper. We'll be joining us live from Grand Bahama. It is the Freeport Report, the Grand Bahama supplement, like we do each and every Tuesday. It's coming at you right after the break, so keep it right where you got it. The Tuesday, June 4th edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
The Grand Bahamas is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
Ignite your leadership capabilities, expand your vision, and chart the path to a bright future at the CIBC Caribbean Ignite Leadership Conference, 27th of June at Bahama, 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Join Sarah Kunst, a venerated entrepreneur who has worked at Apple and Red Bull. Sarah is a Forbes 30 Under 30 Future Innovator and has been honored by the Wall Street Journal. Also hear about the leadership journey of Anthony Ferguson and Crystal Rutherford Ferguson. This event is designed for senior business executives and seasoned entrepreneurs. Register at cibcfcib.com/ignite to secure your space. Only successful registrants will be acknowledged. Join us for the Ignite Leadership Conference, June 27th at Bahamar.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
We're back at you on the Tuesday, June 4th edition of Talking Heads. Let's get down to Grand Bahama like we do each and every Tuesday. We got the Freeport Report coming up, the Grand Bahama Report lined up. We got Sarah Kirkby joining us, and I know Darren Cooper should be chiming in as well. Got both of them live, so let's get down to Grand Bahama. What's going on, Sarah?
I'm
and Darren,
here.
How are you?
He reached.
Let me talk to Darren. Darren, you still live after that convention? Because I saw pictures floating on social media with you and a certain backpack and thing. And I was like, all right.
Yeah, I'm there.
Let me make sure my boy all right, because he's been MIA since that. I wanted to make sure it was all good.
Yeah, it's all good, man.
I was hoping nobody was waiting for you in the parking lot, waiting for you outside. You know what I mean?
There might be a hit out on me, you know, because I heard the chairman of the PLV send out his usual Monday and Wednesday and Friday report. But I'm back. I'm happy to be back, a part of the Free National Movement under the leadership of Michael Pintard. So let me kill all speculation, and let me put to rest any misunderstanding. You know, I'm a behemoth choice to make whatever decision I want as it relates to the party. I decided last election to support the Progressive Party, but not it ain't making no sense. And I'm a person like to make it make sense. And so, I jumped ship off of that, and so I returned to a party that I've been a part of for 25 years, and I think we have good potential. The PLP is indeed running extremely scared when they got the chairman sending voice note out with you, you know. And like I said to them, to several PLPs that would have reached out to me, once you do your job and take care of the people, you got nothing to worry about. But clearly they got plenty to worry about, because they're not doing anything for the people, especially the people of Grand Bahama. No airport, no sale for the hotel, no government school and home drug.
Well,
open,
see,
no
hold on. Well,
no
what we can do is let's let Sarah do Sarah. Let's get the Pollyanna section out of the way.
I ain't finished, man. Sarah, you ain't finished yet.
And then we can turn it over to you. But because I know you got lots to talk about, and I got some questions for you. So we definitely need to drop it up. But Sarah, how goes it? I know there's a lot of things going on coming from the Grand Bahama news this week. And let's jump right into it. I mean, big headline, the first page. Hopeful, skeptical, residents react to government's proposed bazaar purchase. What's the take, guys? Let me know. What's the sentiment of Grand Bahama residents with the potential purchase of the bazaar by the government?
I think you have it split pretty much politically down these lines, unfortunately, for this one. I am,
Oh, man, you mean people making it a political decision, Sarah? I mean, this could be a great opportunity for Grand Bahama.
But it seems to be that those people are very happy who believe in the government and think the government's doing everything right, think it's a great decision. I personally would rather $30 million go towards building my airport. I'm not trying to be rude about it. I'm not trying to be blasé. I mean, the bazaar needs to change. Someone needs to come and take it over. It needs to be sold. But that our airport needs to be sorted out first. That's the priority for me. And it's great.
I'm thinking no matter how much you take over the bazaar and redo it and make it beautiful for Grand Bahamians and tourists, you won't maximize the potential if you don't have an airlift, if you don't have an air partner to bring in tourists to obviously go and support it.
Yeah, I think the bazaar needs to change now and go into something else. I think, you know, if they want to open up the road, which seemed to be a big subject years ago, and everyone was so hot-headed, upset about it, we all go around now, it's no big issue. If they want to open up the road, that's fine. I don't have any problem with that. I think it'd be a nice flow-through for traffic to go down to the harbor, which will be increasing anyhow with, you know, with what's happening down there with the shipyard and everything else. But, you know, for me, the bazaar is not the priority, and I would really hope that the government would take this time to use those funds to help with the airport. That's what everyone's, you know, hoping will happen. And so there is a good explanation in here about what's happening. There's a lot of confusion with other people thinking that this is a Port Authority owned property. This is not. This is a publicly owned property. There are multiple owners involved in this, which Chris Payne, who was the gentleman who ran the bazaar, you can hear all about that there, and you read about it in the paper, and it explains it a lot more, what's happening there. The Port Authority has come in and cleaned up some of the areas because they were actually falling down, and it was not safe for people to walk through there, which is a shame. It was an incredible place that a lot of people remember from when they were younger, the really cool place to hang out because it was so international. So there's a lot of commentary there in the paper today.
And you know, I'm hoping it's not just another political promise. I hope there's something actually behind this with some sort of potential. I turn to the second portion of the supplement, and it ties right in. Airport construction expected in a new budget cycle. But wait a minute. Wasn't that supposed to have started already?
Well, right now, as far as we know, the deconstruction of the old airport is happening. You know, so that's what we know is happening, but we have not been able to talk to anybody. Our reporter, Barbara, tried to reach out to the PM, the DPM, the Airport Authority, everybody to try and get a comment. The office of the Prime Minister here through our Minister of Grand Bahama, and we just aren't getting any commentary. So it is our hope that it will be addressed in the forthcoming budget discussion, which I believe begins tomorrow. And so then hopefully we'll get an update as to what's happening. So it's not really clearly defined. There, no one's seeing much movement in there, but for all we know, it could be a lot of work going on there because there's a lot of internal work that needed to be done. I don't know. So this is our best on trying to find out what's happening there. But, you know, for me, as a personal note, for me personally, I need this airport to get going. And I think we have to have it in order to change what's happening for Grand Bahama. We just had a big event on the Carnival Dream today. The Chamber of Commerce had its annual luncheon there, which was hosted by, and our key speaker was, were the Carnival team who are setting up Celebration. And they talked about, you know, everybody at that meeting was talking about, you know, Grand Bahama coming back, the success of it, and how Celebration is already starting to bring Grand Bahamians home and hiring a lot of Grand Bahamians for work in construction, in all sorts of jobs, their admin, everything that we're going to need. But we're going to need airlift as part of that too, for people that are coming in and for, you know, future for the growth of the island. So this is the key to it. I hope that made some sort of sense.
I mean, you need an airport. Bottom line, you need an airport. No matter what other grandiose plans you have, that airport needs to get done. That's the linchpin right there. That's the catalyst.
Yeah, it is. So it really is. You know, and so the feedback on, like you said, on the airport, we stated what people and locals have said. There's been a lot of reporting up, but we need more details. And I think Darren addressed it in a story that I saw he was in last week. You know, we don't know the details. What are they planning to do with the bazaar? Is there something that's going to happen? There was a local guy who lives here called Steve, who had, I can't think of his last name, and he did a plan to make it a green space area and to put housing there and open it up and change it, which I think would be great. But I don't know if they're open to that. And he wasn't paid to do it. It was something he did. He's an architect, part of his own. He just did it as a, you know, thought of what could happen in that space. And I think that would be something good as well. I don't know what the plans are.
They need to get this done. They need to get this. This airport has taken way too long.
Yeah, it has. And you know,
if you look at this administration, they're halfway through their term. They got about 2.5 years left before they go to the polls. Is this going to get done in 2.5 years? That's the big question.
Yeah, I would hope so with the plan. Yeah. Sorry, Darren, go ahead.
This airport should have been nearing completion
when this administration first came into office, they had promised, if my memory served me well, they would have promised us an airport in end of 2024, beginning of 2025. And we are 6 months into 2024. So one of the things we do know is that there won't be a completion of an airport for 2025. And if we're 6 months into the year and there's no detailed plan on a layout or even someone who's going to be the managers or the investors for this airport, then, you know, that's now going to take some time. We don't have an architectural rendering. We don't have a layout plan. We don't have a drawing. We don't even have an identified, located area that we know as a public. So, of course, we know that while government may be doing what they're doing, we know it will not be finished under this administration and not even guaranteed that it will start under this administration because, first of all, this is the same administration that have already announced a purchaser for the hotel. Nothing happened then. You understand? And so I think government continues to waste time in trying to play politics in selecting who is the highest contributor to a campaign rather than who can give the country or the island what it is it needs. Bimini is getting an $80 million airport. Bimini. And Grand Bahama can get its airport. You're talking about an international bazaar purchase for $30 million. And while Sarah may feel that it's a good opening of the road, open the road to what though? You're telling me that $30 million is going to be used to purchase the country club and the Princess Towers and the bazaar and the road, which is some 400 or 500.
Darren, not to cut you off, if I just base this on how this administration has moved, a lot of talk, but this ain't gonna happen. I need to see this physically. This should have been done by now.
I have plenty of questions that relate to the 30 million allocated. Now, I understand that this is an African connection with the Minister for Grand Bahama. But again, no one in their right, sensible money mind is going to buy, spend more than probably 50, 60. Now, let me break this down. The Harcourt Development Group purchased the country club and the towers for $33 million, okay, back under the Perry Christie administration after one of the hurricanes. If they purchase it for $33 million and have held on to it for this length of time at that same listed price, same company that still has security on property, periodic check, you think they're going to walk away from this property less than $33 million, because the reality of it, it's prime property. So whether we're debating the buildings on it, we got the 400 and some acres of land that's connected to the country club and the towers and the golf course. No one's going to walk away from that, from whatever, any government. Okay? Because this is the same people who bought it from the government.
But is it just the bazaar, or is it the hotel spaces as well? I didn't think it was the hotel spaces as well.
From what I was advised, the director of communication, Latrey Ramming, would have called into The Guardian last week, Thursday, to advise the talk show host that the prime minister would have made an error when he would have mentioned the $30 million for the purchase of the bazaar. It also included the hotel as well, which I feel that Latrey would have misspoke, because that don't add up and it don't make sense. We're talking about an international bazaar that has some 9 to 11 owners. And the reason it sat dilapidated and abandoned for so long is because the owners couldn't make up their mind what they wanted to sell the place for. Okay? So now we're talking about a debate with government. So I think the $30 million is just going to be sufficient enough to probably buy those owners out. Then we have to debate with Harcourt as relates to the purchase, even if we purchase just the road from them and we move to the man-made beach. That again, to me, asks the question, what are we going to open the road to? Are we going to open the road to 2 dilapidated hotels? And that's questions that we hope to get some level of answers when the Minister for Grand Bahama, who has the master plan for this investment, to reveal sometime during her communication, which I will be glued to the TV to hear the full layout. And again, I go back, Naughty, and I say it again, that this is the same young man who said in 2021 that Ginger Moxie is not the right fit for the Ministry of Grand Bahama. And it only has proven to me that she's not the right fit because we have no new investment that has been brought to Grand Bahama. Everything that's been happening in Grand Bahama has been at the expense of the public treasury, which continues to eat up our money on foolishness and dig us into deeper debt. So I have a problem with what is being done. We have a beautiful Grand Bahama, and Grand Bahama still ain't damn, I mean, still ain't beautiful.
Let's get to the phone lines. We got a couple of calls, text lines, and other things, so I got some text.
I just wanted to answer Darren as well, though. When he did talk about the airport, we did find out, remember, in February that the government entered into agreement with Aerodrome Limited, a Bahamian company, Manchester Airport Group Limited, an airport management company based in Manchester, United Kingdom, and BHM Construction International to design, build, finance, and operate and maintain it. So we do have someone. It's just not finalized, as to what they're doing.
Red tape.
I just wanted to clarify that.
I understand. I've been advising on the money.
Let's go to the phone lines. Talking heads.
Yeah, okay. Am I on?
Yeah, go ahead. How are you?
Yeah, this is Joe Dowler from Freeport.
Hey, what's going on, Joe?
Yeah, man, and knowing that my friend Sarah Kirkby is on, I had to connect, and also my good friend there as well. And I think what they're saying so far makes a whole lot of sense. Grand Bahama is being disgracefully neglected. The whole idea of buying or developing the old piece of land there, which has been devastated over a number of years, that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. If a consultation were made with ordinary citizens of Grand Bahama, they would have 1,000 different ways that investment can be made by government or in partnership with the government in order to bring back to Grand Bahama, not just Freeport, but the glory that it used to be. Not only, and the outer limits, the east end of Grand Bahama and west end, they are miserably neglected. I mean, we are worse than stepchildren. So many promises being made prior to both elections, the general election and then the by-election recently, and nothing is coming about. And the airport, for long as that been, I mean, it was a mistake for it to actually be handed over for a dollar to the government by whomever owned it before. That should never, ever have happened. There should be an obligation to restore the second city in the Bahamas, namely Freeport for Grand Bahama, and to have an airport given the priority to rebuild, to have pre-clearance and so on. And if the government in partnership with anybody else has the money wherewithal to develop a dilapidated situation like the bazaar, then that money should be invested in coming up with an airport for Grand Bahama. I mean, in you're doing it, I think, in Exuma. Now you're doing it in Bimini. And the second city, the great city that has poured millions and millions of dollars into the public treasury, and we've been treated worse than a stepchild, that has to change. And I'm not even talking about the PLP. I'm talking about both governments. And I criticize all that need to be criticized. I criticize the FNM for what they didn't do, and I criticize the PLP for what they're not doing. So come to the people, the ordinary people who have the interest of the people, and stop making these stupid promises about this, that, and the other, opening up this, that, and the other, and it never happens, or even putting lights on the road down to West End, which have occasioned the death of so many people because the roads were not lit. So come on now. This got to be changed. We have the development, one of the greatest productions entities in Grand Bahama, and that is the Grand Bahama Shipyard, where I worked for 8 years. And I know what that pours into the economy of the Bahamas in terms of employment. I was the workforce development director there, and apprenticeship program, and now our apprentices, where I establish what you call the educational component of their trades, and now they're being sent to England to get training. And so more attention needs to be paid to this. It is an insult to the people of Grand Bahama that both governments, both the previous one, did not pay sufficient attention to what is happening here. Come on, do better than that. You know, I am insulted every time I have to go down to West End and see the dilapidation there and the promises made and not kept up, and then also out to East End. Come on, my government, come on. And whether you're going to be the next government, FNM or PLP, come on, get your backsides up and working and stop wasting the people's taxes by all of this nonsense of all these people that you pay to do nothing in the country. It is foolishness. I end there.
Uncle Joe, appreciate the call as always, man. Be safe. And always,
you know, thank you,
good
day
for me, man.
God bless you.
Naughty to hear someone like a Joe Darvall speak. Of course, Joe Darvall is one of our icons and someone who's well-respected.
It's a legend.
Bahama. And to hear the level of frustration coming from Joe Darvall, you know, okay, you could say, oh, Darren, you just want to be political, but just to someone like Joe Darvall, who is very well respected in our community, to speak the way that he's speaking clearly. And you know what he's asking for collaboration from our government. Come talk to us. You're making all these brilliant, dumb ideas and no level of collaboration with the people. We just spent $30 million to purchase a dilapidated property that could cut that should be left to the owners to deal with. When we could take some of that million and go build the police station back in West End that has been condemned from this administration. They promised a new one. Nothing yet. Okay? The Holmes Rock Primary, the Holmes Rock, whatever school they won't call it, would have been built from under Perry Christie, under Menace, and now under this administration. 2.5, going into 3 years, and still not yet finished. And we are now talking, we're in June. And school's supposed to reopen in September. You think they can have that ready when the parking lot have more bush growing up into it? We still have unfinished buildings, unfurnished classrooms, unpaved parking lot. And then we can have the same foolishness in September trying to scrap ourselves of getting it finished. We've been doing it a long time. $30 million to do what? I'm also being advised that the Minister for Grand Bahama is also going to buy some dilapidated buildings in the Garden Villas area to create housing. When they got in Trip Circle right now, a collab, a transitional home that's basically vacant because the people they put in them is not complying to the rules and regulations of the housing process.
Oh, Lord.
So what are we doing? Why are we giving people fish every day when we could give them fishing rods to tell them go fishing? Just to say, oh, I've been do something. I feed the people. You go on Hawksville, on the Minister for Grand Bahama, go on Hawksville in the constituency on Saturday to try and feed people and run out of food on the halfway mark. All the same, we've been given breakfast and you feed the whole community. I go, come on, man.
Let's get to the phone lines, Darren. I give you a chance to breathe for a second, but great points made. Let's go to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. First time call on your show.
Appreciate it, man. What you got for me today?
It's a powerful conversation. We're talking about, at least from what I recognize, fairly identified a lot of infractions due to promises made that are not being kept. Correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now, I don't know. Based on your answer to this next question, it may determine my response, but have you ever read the Parliamentary Election Act?
Portions of it, Fenton. Portions of it.
Okay, good.
How's the Fenton business going?
Are you so messy and naughty?
Hey, what's going on, brother? It's all good. You know me. But anyway, finish your point.
Right. So I think it'd be good to encourage most members to read it, and if you haven't, request an audience to really read it, because it clearly states in the Parliamentary Election Act how candidates and elected officials are supposed to behave in terms of campaigning, during campaigning, before election call, during election call, when they're in the House of Assembly. It ties in and correlates with the Constitution, with making reference to certain articles that you would read, what they would not repeat in the Act because it's already mentioned in the Constitution. The Bahamian people, the voters have to read that because that's really the blueprint for holding me and others as who vying for candidacy
accountable. Correct.
For a position to serve them because it's a job. You know, like I tell employees, the employees who we listen to right now who work for someone, when you go apply for that job, you don't just get that right away. You have to put in your resume. You have to go in a job interview. You have to go in probably a few, depending on the nature of the job, before you're elected. And you're not just the only one who are vying for that job. I say to voters forward, because we've all made mistakes in the past with the influence. Look at the people that's on the list that is vying for candidacy to get this job to serve you. Don't just go because of brand popular. FNM, PLP, COY, DNA, this one, that one. Get to know each person in time. Just Google them, search them, see what they've been doing, what type of activism they've been doing, what they do, just so we can have credible people who are vying and we don't allow the narrative to overshadow qualifications, merits, and persons that actually want to make change happen in society.
I think I can applaud you on this. It's not you just talking this today. You've been on this for a minute, man. You've been championing this cause, so you know you have a platform to champion it here, my brother. Don't be a stranger.
Man, I love you like a foot, man. Daddy, you know you're the baseball king.
Right back at you. No diddy kind of it. You know how we do it,
no brother. No diddy.
But listen, Hold on. Go ahead.
Let me say this word to the no diddy talk, because I've been in Parliament Wednesday, and this is continuing.
Careful.
That's my mind. Well, I go in Parliament, Nordy. I've been doing it from since I was 34 or 33. I go in to kind of get a feel, because I can't apply or want ascend to a position and not want to get to know the position, feel the position, understand, and kind of see how we should behave in Parliament. And there's a lot of things that the people don't see that the camera don't catch. And so I encourage behemoths that, you know, go in and sit in Parliament and listen and see your representative work and see if he's actually sleeping on the job, because some of them do, other pictures, or if he's actually on his laptop, distracted on his phone, or if he's actually engaged in the communication on what's really important and truly representing them in that honorable house. God bless, and have a good day, sir.
Appreciate you, brother. Don't be a stranger. Let's get to the next call. Talking Head.
Yes, how you doing, Sarah and Darren? C. Allen Johnson.
What's going on, C. Allen?
Yeah, just a few points. Sarah, congratulations on your new position. This brings me to my question to you. What does an acre of land inland worth? Especially.
Don't ask me that. I don't know that yet.
Okay, you know, especially when it's.
But I'm hoping it's going to change a lot with things that are happening here.
Right, I'm saying especially when it's segmented, owned by a dozen owners who all don't agree on what their property is worth.
Exactly. Okay, it's going to be it's a big thing. You're right.
It has no value unless you get all of it.
Yeah, we got a lot to go. Well, right. That's what Darren's asking for. We need clarity on what's going to happen here and what part of the bazaar they're looking to buy. Is it part of the hotel? We don't know that. So that's the bigger decision.
Yeah, but make a very valid point. I've heard three explanations so far. I mean, you take into the fact that the $32 million that was originally spent on it in 2007, I think, or maybe 11, and the fact that the Harcourt had promised to put $250 million into redeveloping it. But you must first understand if the government buys that entire property, which I'm leaning, and for reasons that's known to me, I'm leaning to accepting that the original explanation coming from the communications officer was correct. Because that's within the vicinity. The only problem is that the one of the main reasons Harcourt moved in to take that was the fact that the sewer system is part of that whole network of information. Now, considering that Harcourt paid about $75,000 an acre for that particular property, but here's when we have a problem. Grand Bahama is lacking it being a destination. The argument could be, do we have the chicken or we have the egg? And this is where the endemic failure happens in Grand Bahama so far. And I know people make the argument concerning the airport or the argument concerning the hotel. In 2009, a comprehensive survey was done on the tourism industry for Grand Bahama, and it said that we needed 14,000 rooms to be viable. We needed 7,000 rooms just to break even, or what they call net zero. That's from 2009. Dynamics have changed. So the problem is that we keep looking at 1,270 rooms, or say 1,300 rooms, 1,200 rooms in one particular location, and an airport in another location. But the problem is that when you look at the airport, considering that $150 million is needed And that is a reasonable figure, not the $30 million they originally came with, but now we had $150. And there was a reason for them coming to that figure during the previous administration. How do you pay? Consider that an airport is a mall. They don't necessarily make their profit from the airlines coming in. They made it from the throughput going through the airport. How do you pay back $150, $200 million? Remember, that's the bill. That's not even the operational cost that's integrated into it. So there has to be a certain volume and a capacity of individuals passing through that airport to achieve net zero and operational aspect of it. That is what the government has not said to us. And no financier, no investor will invest in an airport unless they could find a means to extract whatever their money's put in plus a profit at 30 years max. And if the government can't explain that, and if we can't have a conversation on the destination environment Grand Bahama has to be, because we have to simultaneously looking at what the cruise ship is doing. That's a small aspect. It's like free marketing. But we have to have a destination to get heads and beds, or they call it keys in the real estate industry. We have to be able to get a certain amount of keys, open up 10,000, 7,000, whatever. But that strategy has to be simultaneously built, not just for the keys, which is the rooms, but for what you say, services that we can offer, the tourism aspect of it. So we need restaurants, we need tours, we need all these different things. So we have to stop this looking at the airport or looking at the hotel or even looking at the cruise thing as a single solution. We need a comprehensive strategy on how to rebuild the Grand Bahama economy. And I only touched, and just ending right now, I've only touched on the tourism and hospitality aspect of it. But when you begin to listen to the things we talk about, the green economy, the blue economy, the orange economy, the aquamarine economy, the so-called digital economy for 20 years, all of these different things require certain tools, certain ecosystem to be put in place for them to be able to be viable. And it seems like people love to Google words and have no understanding of the infrastructure or the ecosystem that has to be developed. And you cannot do it without the people. So until we actually have real conversations on Grand Bahama, we just talking, just plain talking. And I can tell you now, you will not get it from this current leadership. And just let me end, FNM, 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 Pintat, Pintat, Pintat. That's the solution for Grand Bahama. He has the ability to bring the people together, who has the ability to think like I do and solve the problem. Thank you.
Good stuff, C. Allen. Appreciate the call as always. We got another call, but any of you guys want to comment on the calls we had so far before we take the other one?
I think they're all making valid points when you listen to C. Allen. It's too, you know, and I've heard it before, and it makes more sense even now thinking of it, that you can't just go ahead and say an airport when, again, you have one particular hotel which is closed. So the government now is going to demolish if they decide and they've purchase the hotel, the old Royal Oasis, what's the plan for that? Then you have also the Xanadu Beach Resort. These are hotel properties that can be refurbished. And again, what is our Ministry for Grand Bahama, our government, our investment minister doing to help these properties that needs to be reopened, redesigned to be able to create a demand or to supply the demand that we may want to build? You're building an airport to bring in the same airlines that you have coming in now. Doesn't really make much sense. So you need to be able to attract new airlines, but you have to have something to attract them with.
I got a couple of questions off the text line.
Can I say something really, really quick? Sorry, Joe made a mention of it, and I have to really, we didn't get to discuss it, and I have to make a fuss. Please, if you are looking at the paper today, have a look at the story about the kids from the GB Shipyard Apprentice.
Yeah,
program.
That's a good read right there.
It really is. It's a cute little story. We've only put the Eiffel in here because we did cover it within The Guardian earlier. They covered it for us. But I just think it's such a super story. These kids were excited. And what the best part of it is the parents. You have never seen prouder parents at the airport kissing these big, huge 6'4" men and telling them they better behave themselves and do a good job. It was great to see as a parent myself, and so proud. And these kids were just lovely. And
glad to see those young men have an opportunity with the shipyard too.
Oh, yeah. And the gentleman and the one that spoke for us, he was so eloquent. and they were all quite banded together. I don't know. I was just so impressed with it and impressed with the program, but more impressed with the boys themselves, the young men really, and also their parents. Their parents were excited. And then also, of course, I just love how everyone's wearing these big gold medallions. Y'all have to explain that one to me at another time.
All right, let's get to the phone lines. Talking heads.
Hey, Naughty, good afternoon.
Hey, what's happening, Jeff?
Right here, man. Good afternoon, my good people of Brian Bahama. Listen, I like the commentary just now that was given about, a lot of Bahamians are trying to figure out what is the true intent of the government as far as acquiring the properties that they have mentioned. I like the mere fact that it was mentioned that two of those properties actually houses hotels already on them, existing buildings already on them. And I look at it from a short-term standpoint that if the government is going to invest all of this money into acquiring the properties, and the properties then have two hotels already existing on them, how practical is it to use some of the financial resources to renovate those buildings, get those buildings up and running, which would help to alleviate the unemployment rate of Grand Bahama, because a lot of those persons there are hoteliers. I'm pretty sure that they are interested in getting back into the hotel industry. I could see with the proper planning that those properties could be reopened. Employment could be reduced significantly once the renovation, even during the phase of renovation, you can use a lot of those persons to help renovate the property. But what is the true intent of just acquiring the property if the Bahamian people don't even know what the plans are? My last point here, Naughty, is this. This current administration has flown all over the globe, okay, already. And we have yet to see any true or tangible results on the ground on a day-to-day basis as far as the benefit for Bahamian people actually seeing value for money. I mean, what is the true plan of all these trips that are taken, and yet it has not even begun to even touch the ground for the average Bahamian for us to benefit from it? I mean, all these are just questions on the ground that people are talking about, and it takes persons like us who are bold enough to come on the airwaves to talk about these things, regardless of the ridicule and the bashing that we get from the pundits. But these things have to be asked, and they should at least be given answers. But I look forward to hearing the commentary from the guests that you have on the show today. Thanks for taking my call today, Naughty.
No problem, Jeff.
Continue the great work.
Thanks, bro. Appreciate it. Let me get a couple of texts in real quick. Go ahead, Darren.
Naughty, I want to now agree with something Sarah said a very long time ago. I disagree then, but it makes a little more sense now thinking about the state of Grand Bahama. We have the Xanadu Beach property, we have the Alukaya property, and we have the Princess Country Club property. And I remember Sarah saying some time back about the Alukaya property, just give it to a hotelier, someone who can just take it over and do whatever. If the government is really serious about getting heads and beds and getting properties open up, then I would feel good knowing that the government purchasing the Royal Oasis property and purchasing the Zionda Beach property and then reaching, or even in advance, government being the owner and finding tenants to occupy properties. And guess what? We may want $163 million for Alukaya, but we can get it over a period of time. We could be able to get that, and that's now the property of the Bahamian people, but it's being run by a hotelier who can bring a brand, a Sheraton brand or a Hard Rock or something of those sort. And I want to say this while I'm on Guardian Radio, that I am extremely disappointed in the investment minister, Chester Cooper, because I really can't see, feel, or touch nothing thus far 2.5 years.
But you're in an exhumer, that's why.
Okay, why? The government should take ownership of these and turn them over to some people who could take over these properties, get them open up, and guess what? You will then, the government, Naughty, will benefit all around, because you got Grand Bahamians now returning, you got foreigners returning back to the island, and so even more money is going to be made, because there's going to be more demand, more taxes, more VAT, more you name it, of items that's going to be demanded, and government will make money all around. But I say again, like I said before, this government lacks vision as relates to Grand Bahama.
All right, let me get you a couple of the texts that came in while we were talking and discussing Grand Bahama. Naughty, was a hurricane shelter built since the elections? 2024 and still no shelter. Can really, really trust the structural integrity of these schools? But $100 million on consultants, but nothing to show for it. Naughty, I can't help but feel that Grand Bahama loves falling for these games. No airport, hospital, or better living coming from Bahamians. Pay your taxes, let the politicians misappropriate the taxes, and die a poor man is the Bahamian motto. No, we got to change that. That can't be the narrative. NIB is going up and BPL switching over this month. That's what I care about. I can't worry about anything else. How about this one? Just shows you all aren't rated. If they could spend $30 million on a dilapidated structure but no airport, come on, Freeport, wake up. It's time for you to get your own independence. Freeport and Abaco, you should go independent.
We were talking about that today. Let's go grab a co.
There you go. Well, I appreciate
both. I want it the other way, so we would be a Bahama.
But anyway,
sorry.
If it gets to that point, you know, we could only go up from here. But I want to thank you guys for chiming in and for being so candid. Obviously, we'll do it again next Tuesday. But I appreciate both of you chiming in. Keep up the good stuff, Sarah, with the Grand Bahama News. And Darren, keep being the activist that you are, man. A lot of good points, a lot of good lives, a lot of good streams, a lot of good information coming out. And people really appreciate how candid you are bringing the information. So thank you guys. Appreciate you all being part of the team. And we'll do it again next Tuesday, man.
Thank you, guys. See you later.
Thank you. And thank you to all those Grand Bahamians who support us. Woo-hoo!
There you go, man. We'll take a quick break. Flip side of the break. We'll get into the convo. We got to get to the news right now. Knowledge, I see you. I'll pick it up in the 5 o'clock hour just for you, brother. All right? Y'all keep it right where you got it. The Tuesday, June 4th edition of Talking Heads continues right after this. Good stuff, everybody who chimed in.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there'll be no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to
located
life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Flavid Island Games,
we making dreams come true.
Flavid Island Games,
we paying more out to you. Don't mind the noise in the market, you getting cash in your pocket.
Cause Island Games is spicy, and spicy is tradition.
So when you play
Island Games,
we putting Bahamians first, guaranteed to pay.
Island Games,
we like them other jokers. We've been here from the start, from the bike to computer.
Island Games,
we can make your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
Is it a burger?
No. Is it pizza?
Come on, man, it's KFC. Whatever the crunch this is, it's delicious. New, the Kentucky Cheetah Sandwich. Crispy chicken topped with marinara sauce, mozzarella, and pepperoni. Order your Cheetah Sandwich now at KFCNassau.com or at your favorite KFC restaurant. It's new and it's radical. KFC, it's finger-licking good.
Ignite your leadership capabilities, expand your vision, and chart the path to a bright future at the CIBC Caribbean Ignite Leadership Conference, 27th of June at Bahamar, from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Join Sarah Kunst, a venerated entrepreneur who has worked at Apple and Red Bull. Sarah is a Forbes 30 Under 30 Future Innovator and has been honored by the Wall Street Journal. Also hear about the leadership journey of Anthony Ferguson and Crystal Rutherford Ferguson. This event is designed for senior business executives and seasoned entrepreneurs. Register at cibcfcib.com/ignite to secure your space. Only successful registrants will be acknowledged. Join us for the Ignite Leadership Conference, June 27th at Bahamar.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Talking Heads with Naughty is brought to you by the Bahamas Out Island Promotion Board, Burger King, Cancer Treatment Centers of America, the Cleveland Clinic, Fine Threads, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's and Games, Prince Masters, and Tropical Gyros.
We're back at you on the Tuesday, June 4th edition of Talking Heads. Your boy Naughty and your company right up until 6 p.m. Pearly should be zooming in short order. Look out for Earl the Pearl. I know Pearly will be zooming in, but while we wait on the Pearl, you know what we're going to jump into, right into Today in Sports History, all brought to you, of course, by Naughty Johnny's. It's always well worth the trip out there to the Old Fort Shopping Plaza, man. Monday through Friday, great for lunch and dinner. Then on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, great for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And don't forget happy hour every Wednesday and Friday, 5 to 7 at Naughty Johnny's. All right, on this day in sports history, June 4th, 19... Boy, we got a lot today, hey? This was a hot day in sports history. 1927, the U.S. defeated Britain in the first Ryder Cup International Golf Championship. 1940, Forbes Field hosted the first night game. The Pirates beat the Braves 14-2. 1940, Sportsman's Park hosted its first night game. It was the first National League game to be played in at night. The Dodgers beat the Cardinals 10-1. 1964, Sandy Koufax threw his third career no-hitter. 1968, Don Drysdale pitched his sixth consecutive shutout. Other Dodgers as well. 1971, the Oakland A's beat the Washington Senators 5-3. The game took 21 innings. 1974, the NFL granted the Seattle Seahawks a franchise. 1974, Henry Hank Aaron set a National League record when he hit his 16th career Grand Slam. 1976, the Boston Celtics defeated the Phoenix Suns in triple overtime in Game 5 of the NBA Finals. The Celtics took the series on June 6th of that year. 1980, Gordie Howe announced his retirement from hockey. 1984, for the first time in 32 years, Arnold Palmer failed to make the cut for the U.S. Golf Championship. 1988, Steffi Graf won the French Open for the second straight year. 1996, Eddie Murray hit his 535th double. He moved into 18th on the all-time list, passing Lou Gehrig. 1996, Patrick Waugh of the Colorado Avalanche started his 133rd consecutive playoff game. 1997, Michael Irvin of the Dallas Cowboys, and he was putting his NFL career on hold. Irvin later retracted his announcement and returned to the game. 2000, Julius Dr. J. Irving reported his 19-year-old son, Corey, missing. His body was found on July 6, 2000. Also in 2000, Fred McGriff of the Tampa Bay Devil Rays got his 2000th career hit. And sports quote of the day, on this day in 1939, today I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth, Lou Gehrig. And we all know that tragic story. And that's a wrap today on Today in Sports History, all brought to you, of course, by Naughty Johnny's. Let's slide into the local scene. Keep an eye out for Pearly there, Mr. Producer. I'm sure the Pearl will be zooming in short order. But let's get to the local scene. We got lots to talk about, too. Lots to talk about as far as the rackets with tennis and, of course, with squash. All right? And our Davis Cup tournament is set for June 17th through the 22nd in Paraguay. And second-generation tennis player Michael Major Jr. is quickly progressing and moving up the charts, looking to make a name for himself in the sport. So let's see where that goes. Team Bahamas consists of Major, Justin Roberts, Rodney Carey Jr., Dante Ambrista, and Denali Nautich. So let's keep an eye on a young team, but let's see where they go. From squash, they've had the latest squash tournament. It's signaling growth in the sport. Four Walls Squash and Social Club proudly hosted the 2024 Four Walls Squash Open Championships from May 23rd to 25th, marking the largest tournament since the club's inception during the COVID-19 pandemic. The event featured four highly competitive divisions, a first for the club, underscoring the growth and increasing popularity of the indoor racket sports. I'm glad to know that squash is, you know, revitalizing itself in the country. It used to be huge when I was younger. A lot of my teachers used to play. Bahamas Aquatics ratifies 40-member team for Goodwill Championships. So our swimming program doing big things. So we got tennis going international. We got swimming going international. Squash making a comeback. It's good stuff. Good stuff. And, of course, you know, the local scene all brought to you, of course, by Burger King Nassau. And listen, it's all about the Angry Whoppers. Get the Angry Breakfast Sandwich. Get the Angry Chicken. Get the Angry Whopper. And be sure to take a picture of your angry face and send it to BK Nassau's Facebook page or their Instagram page. All right? Now, make sure to send your angry face, not your ugly face. Send it to them. And if it's angry enough, you could win yourself a bevy of angry goodness from BK Nassau, including your angry whoppers, your angry chicken, your angry breakfast. It's definitely worth the hookup. All right? All right. Now let's go international. All brought to you, of course, by Tropical Gyros. Now, in New Providence, you got the flagship store on Mackey. You got the newest location in the R&D Plaza in the West. You now got Grand Bahama. And I hear Carmichael coming soon. Pick up the Chef Carmen Tropical Gyros, man. It's taking off. Good stuff. And I know Grand Bahama loving Tropical Gyros, man. Yes, indeed. My peeps from Grand Bahama done tell me, now I see what you be running on with every day, boy naughty. They off the chain. They are. They are indeed. All right. So, if we look at the international scene, we got, we can talk baseball. We got some NFL offseason news, including CeeDee Lamb holding out. Pearly, like I said, waiting for Pearly to zoom in. He should zoom in at any second now. But contract talks in Dallas with CeeDee Lamb. Justin Jefferson just signed a huge deal yesterday. So that's going to push the wide receiver market out the roof. Hello? Is that the
any
Pearl?
Second now. Any second now.
What?
So I'm zooming in.
Well, then that's one of the seconds. You're in. What's going on?
Right there trying to stir the trouble.
You doing a good job of that, or are you getting in trouble? No comment. Okay. But lots to talk about, Purdy, in the as far as, you know, people in and out of lineups and moving and grooving. News out of, you know, NFL offseason. You got NBA draft news coming up. And you got a little interesting news out of baseball as well. Padres player got a lifetime ban. Major League Baseball announced a permanent ban for San Diego Padres infielder Tucupita Marcano and four other suspensions due to violation of the league's sporting betting policy per Major League Baseball.com's Mark Feinsad. In addition to Marcano being ruled permanently ineligible, the league reportedly gave one-year suspensions to Padres pitcher Jay Groom, Oakland A's pitcher Michael Kelly, Phillies infielder Jose Rodriguez, and Arizona Diamondbacks pitcher Andrew Salfrank. So there you have it. Marcano made 387 bets on baseball games, including 25 on games involving the Pittsburgh Pirates while he was on the team's injured list during the 2023 season. MLB levied the lifetime ban on him because he bet on his own team, a la Pete Rose. We got Purdy back, or he dropped off again? He should zoom in a second. There's another, you know, lifetime ban in baseball. So not only Pete Rose suffered that fate, but now Marcano. And Ippi Mizuhura, Shohei Ohtani's former interpreter, pleads guilty to fraud charges. According to ESPN's Alden Gonzalez, Mizuhura entered a plea at the change of plea hearing in federal court after previously pleading not guilty last month. Now he pled guilty. As per ESPN, prosecutors alleged that Mizuhura stole nearly $17 million from Ohtani over multiple years in order to pay off gambling debts. And I know Pearly side a big relief on that. No trouble for Shohei, just his interpreter. That's, you know, the most important thing for Dodger fans, I think. That $700 million man Shohei Ohtani was not involved in any way, shape, or form. And even if he was, he got the interpreter to take that one for the team.
My apologies, then. I'm speaking of my phone, so bear with me, sir.
Is everything back in order now?
I hope it is. If in order now, but if you lose me, don't panic.
Yeah, Marcano from the Padres, lifetime ban for gambling, a la Pete Rose. And then we got Ohtani's interpreter. He changed his plea from not guilty to guilty.
Yeah, so he's gonna. They made a plea. He's gonna get a ton of years, but it's not gonna be as bad as it was before.
And then in the NFL, Christian McCaffrey agrees to a two-year, $38 million contract extension from the 49ers. That's an average of $19 million per year.
Okay.
I mean, no other running back is going to get it, so he may as well get it. I mean,
Yeah, I see Jefferson from Minnesota got a pretty big one, 30. He's the highest paid non quarterback now.
Not for long, though, because, you know, he's got $110 million guaranteed. But I heard as of today, you know, a certain individual by the name of Sedarius DeLeon Lamb, a.k.a. CeeDee Lamb in Dallas, who's holding out, will become the highest paid wide receiver in the league. And then he will become the highest paid non-quarterback in the league until Jamar Chase signs his wide receiver contract. And then he will become number one. You know how this thing goes.
And then next year they're going to extend Tyreek, so he will become number one.
Yeah, so, you know, this is a frenzy for agents. I just want CeeDee Lamb to get the contract done. I think it's smart what his people have done. They brought him into OTAs. He's not participating. He's going to be in training camp, but not participating. So he's going to be a reminder there every day. We need to get this done. And hopefully Jerry will get it done quicker, sooner than later, as is always the case with Jerry. But tentatively, the word out of Dallas is by training camp, by the start of training camp, by the start of the preseason, CD will be in uniform, signed, sealed, delivered. And play Micah on the fifth-year option, and then next year we got to go back to the well and pay Micah.
Okay.
So I'm thinking if Dak doesn't get this contract done before the preseason, they're going to let him play the whole entire season out. They're going to let him walk, and they're going to go with Trey Lance.
Wow. Okay.
They're very high on Trey Lance, though, and I've seen it from albeit it's off-season workouts and whatnot. Ball is getting out there fast. The receivers like how he's throwing the ball. He's got good rapport with all the receivers. He does additional work with them in addition to Dak. So that helps the wide receiver crew, but it also helps him. So we'll see. I think Trey's somebody that could be a wild card. And if not for the Cowboys, for another team in the future, somebody may trade for him and plug him right in the lineup.
Are you giving up on Dak, Naughty?
No, I'm not giving up on Dak, but I'm looking at the financial ramifications. We could sign all three, but we'll be in cap purgatory hell at the end of their careers forever and ever, paying off long after they're retired. So I'm thinking if you got to bite the bullet on one, it's going to be Dak. You still know that CD offers a huge upside. You still know Micah offers a huge upside. They're a lot younger than Dak. And you got a younger, almost a replacement in Trey Lance, who was a former number one pick. So on paper, you know, it's not a crazy idea. On the field, who knows how it's going to go.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But speaking of stinking it up in OTAs, we got a call. We're coming to you right now, caller. I hear Caleb Williams. Is that his name, Caleb Williams, a quarterback from Chicago?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's impressing.
Impressing what? Couldn't get off the field the other day, threw seven straight interceptions in 7-on-7 drills. Couldn't get off the field, Burley.
Okay.
I hear, a la Caitlin Clark, and I hate to bring Caitlin up, because now she's my new LeBron. But the locker room is not treating him nicely. Apparently, they were big fans of Justin Fields. Some of them have been more vocal and saying Justin should have been our quarterback, and now they're putting it on Caleb in practice.
Hasn't
been a smooth transition.
I like the wide receiver. Oh, I want to say Tyreek, but I don't put him. But somebody is Washington. He is making your brother Wilson. And making one or two others, not Wilson, is another wide receiver that Miami has.
Wilson gone, he signed with the Saints.
No, there's another wide receiver there that we maybe ended up trading or getting rid of. Corncraft or something like that. Corncraft.
Yeah, and you got your boy from Nebraska last year who was injured, right?
He's back. Yeah, he's been cleared to play now. So he has the battle. It's going to be up, but they're going to keep him about six wide receivers. But so one of them going to get cut.
And one of them should end up on a needy team that needs wide receivers. Let's get to this call real quick, Bertie. Talking Heads.
Hey, Naughty.
Hey, what's happening?
This is Derek. What's happening, buddy?
What's going on, brother?
Tell you, I can call. Look here, when you, Bertie, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, right there, bro. What you saying?
Look here. You know that situation. What we dealing with? Last couple days. You know, I had you, right?
Yes, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes, my brother. All the time.
Yes.
Listen, you're talking about the 49ers.
Boy, look here. A 49er getting the Dolphin? Oh, God, yes, that's hilarious. That is so hilarious. Y'all couldn't even save each other and get out each other way. A 49er and a Dolphin. A 49er and a Dolphin. Two of the teams that have been the longest without winning a championship in the league, the Dolphins and the 49ers. Y'all can't get out your own way. Hey, Purdy, Derek No, only one thing saving him. And I ain't gonna call it on the air, but Derek No, only one thing saving him.
I think I may know what that is.
But what you got for us, Derek? Couple of things. I know you're a big Yankee. I know you're a big Yankee fan. Purdy being a huge Dodger, but boy, our Yankees looking good this year, man. Knock on wood, and I'm knocking on wood right now.
Yeah, we got them Dodgers. We got them Dodgers coming up on the weekend, though.
That's going to be a good series. I'm anticipating that highly, and we soon get Garrett Cole back, and I'm excited about that.
You mean you got my Dodgers, not my Dolphins. You got my Dodgers. We can see. We can see the same weekend. Y'all can get your feelings hurt.
Boy, he's that guy right now, Derek, until Monday morning.
We rise to the occasion. I'm looking forward to this play. I clear my schedule for Sunday this weekend just to watch baseball, to watch the Dodgers-Yankees baseball.
There you go.
Okay, I am on my cell right now. I'll run in a couple of minutes before I get this point across. I want to ask you a question, man. What do you think about this whole thing with this Caitlin Clark girl, man? All this hype about this.
Wait, Derek, you've struggled. You're trying to get me in problems again today. Purdy, I can let you lead out in this one and I'll wrap it up.
You missed what we said yesterday. There's another guard that held her, says, take away the 3-pointer, she brings nothing to the league. She's getting that privilege treatment. And I'm calling her the new Larry Bird without the skills.
I call her the female LeBron James. All kind of hype and no delivery. When it counts.
I agree with that.
She can shoot.
Because they want to be politically correct. Well, I ain't going to be politically correct. She's the next Red, White, Hope. And they're trying to hype her up to be the face of the WNBA.
Right. And what bothers me is you had Angel Reese, Purdy's girl. You had Cardoso. You had Cameron Breck. You had like four or five, six of them drafted with real potential to change that face of the league because they came from good college programs. They were well-known. They were popular. And that has inspired young women to play basketball, not just Caitlin
Clark. And the thing what it is, if you want to have a blue-eyed, blonde-haired girl, Cameron Brink is a pie, an absolute gorgeous young lady who could be the face of the WNBA and do that. Right. But, you know, they want Caitlin Clark. But I like I said yesterday, Derek, in college, you have the elite player. You have the great player, you have the good player, you have the average player, you have the not-so-average player. In the WNBA, that's all the elite players of the NCAA that are playing there. So you got quicker, faster, stronger, bigger girls playing, and she can't keep her. Eventually, if she don't put on some weight, in that nominee.
Now, I will also say about Caitlin Clark. Now, you know I've always been an Ionescu fan. Great shooter coming out of college, but she was part of that Mamba Academy. She got that Mamba mentality. That's why she could take Steph Curry to the wall in a three-point shootout shooting from the man's distance. Caitlin is not locked in that mentality yet. She's getting bullied too easy. She's getting pushed out of a game. She's settling for the jump shot. She's not setting up the jumper with the layups like she did in college. Or she's not setting up the layups with the jumper like she did in college. She's uncomfortable. And girls are going to be physical with her, going to bully her. But that was the mandate of the league. When Sue Bird and Taurasi were doing coverage for the WNBA during the draft, they said, it's not going to be easy for all these girls coming in.
Yeah. But mind you, Naughty, if she gets in that three-point shooting...
Take care.
She can keep up. If she gets in that three-point shooting with Steph, she can keep up.
Yep. But, I mean, at the end of the day... She's having some severe growing pains, Purdy.
Yeah.
Very severe growing pains. And you can't run from it. Listen, she's even crying and moaning to the point where her dad, who's watching the game, is telling her to toughen up and play.
Yeah.
Anyway,
she's been so used to getting the bligh all through college, being this big thing through college, You touch her, they fight. You got to earn your right there. You ain't coming there because you had this in the NCAA, you getting this in the WNBA. No.
And Kagan is no defendant. She is using her privilege to get by. Monica on ESPN checks Stephen A. Smith, rightly so. And that was a good check by Monica as well, too. She checked Stephen A. hard. Yeah. She checked him hard.
Monica McNutt
came at Stephen A. hard, and she didn't do it disrespectfully. She just hit him with it where it counted. He came back later on trying his usual attack tear down scenario. But at the end of it, that was a great valid point. And again, Stephen A., the mistake you made is, if you go at her hard, she signed a ticket to go anywhere else and contribute because she makes some valid, great points on ESPN.
Yeah.
Naughty, you hear clowning on Caitlin Clark and the Cowgirls haven't won a championship from 1996. And again, you haven't sent a sensible text or made a sensible statement since you came out your mom's womb, text up. But anyway, we entertain you anyway. And say you wasn't even in primary school then. That's what I say. You new booty as they come. The milk's still around your mouth. You and all these WNBA athletes are pure haters because you all know there will never be another GOAT like Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark can't carry a Cynthia Cooper's jock on a good day with two handles, let alone Cheryl Swoops. Tell Pearly a star player doesn't need to be pretty. They just need to be talented. But Angel Reese is neither pretty or talented. Now tell Pearly smoke on that one. Anyway, Pearly, go ahead.
Obviously, you need to go see the doctor and get your eyes checked. Because if you don't think she's pretty and talented, something wrong with you. You think I'm being biased against Caitlin Clark. I'm being real. You're being biased against Angel because that's who I like. Angel has proven herself. She's got a ring. What has Caitlin got? Angel's got a ring, an NCAA Women's Basketball Championship. Caitlin Clark has been runner-up twice. The bridesmaid, not the bride.
And boy, look here. I could be honest with you, though. I'm convinced this Texas probably has a LeBron rookie card stashed away, LeBron underoos, LeBron cooler, LeBron lunchbox, and now he could probably go into Caitlin Clark route, too.
And you want to say Angel ain't pretty? When last you look at Caitlin Clark?
There was an old saying, this old character on Saturday Night Live, remember him? You look like a man.
Yeah.
I tell you this, Caitlin ain't easy on the eyes. Maybe to some she is, but the others, she a little hard on the eyes, man.
I mean, you look at Angel. Angel got a nice shape. She got a pretty face. She's got a... Come on, man.
And Angel said made a very significant point yesterday. People are not just watching the WNBA because of Caitlin Clark. They're watching for other people, too. They're watching because of me also. And that's a very true statement. Because they're looking for her to fail. Just how they want to call in and root for Caitlin to win and succeed and be the hype and all of this. They want Caitlin to fail. You know why? They want Angel Reese to fail. You know why? Because a couple years ago in college, she reminded Caitlin that you can't see me. After Caitlin started it, after Caitlin went out there talking to trash, Angel Reese finished it. And America didn't like it.
And now here they
are again. They're there watching for two reasons. One, to see Caitlin succeed. One, to see Angel Reese fail. But at the end of the day, they're watching. And that's what matters. And those are the components, not just Caitlin Clark, the other contributing factors, like Cardoso, like Cameron Beck, like others who came in last year. And then Juju Watkins get in and go play for the Sparks next year? Oh, Jesus!
I don't know if she can make the spot. She can be number one pick next year, so I don't know.
Brother,
she's got another year. She's not next year.
The Sparks stinking up the joint, and you know and I know, if the NBA or the WNBA won't get you a player in the draft, it's going to happen.
Well, I think Juju got one more year. I think she's going to be a junior this year. She got another 2 years.
Huh?
I think she got another 2 years. Check right now.
Hey, Naughty and Pearly, I enjoy listening to you, but that low blow you said just now should make the text of the lead. Why? You should see what that text of this be pouring into us everyday texter. All right? And listen, You trying to play public defender. If you listen to this show, that texter made a grave insult against the Dallas Cowboys. So you know what happens after that, right? You know what after that.
He's taking that thing serious.
You don't diss the Dallas Cowboys and Kobe Bryant on this show. Okay? I'm just letting you know. But guess what? We being nice to that taxi today. That taxi done taken worse.
She's too bad, so don't feel bad.
He or she or whoever it is, they mouth quite sticky. They got some alligator skin. They can take it. Let's go to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
Morning, gentlemen. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Paul as well, but George.
What's happening, my brother?
Everything cool, Noddy. Noddy said a taxer, never tax a good taxer or make a good statement and say Bonnie.
Yeah, man, come on, man. You can come out the gate dissing the Cowboys. What are you supposed to say after that?
Anyhow. But you know, I don't really do that sports thing again, but Noddy, but something you said just now brought back a little bit. They call it nostalgia when you spoke about Cynthia Cooper.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, boy. I mean, like that's nice.
Cynthia Cooper, Cheryl Swoops, Lisa Leslie. Right, man.
But ain't none was like Cynthia Cooper though.
Coops was bad, bro.
Yeah, they don't realize that. I just want to ask you, I mean, anybody sense ever dominate the league like her?
Well, Swoops had a moment afterwards. Lisa Leslie had a moment. Candace Parker had moments.
And Lisa, to be honest with you, I mean, they was all right, right? But like when compared to Cooper, man, they was overrated.
The only thing that I take away from Cooper's legacy is that she was in the fledgling portion of the WNBA when they first started. Some GMs had a better idea of international talent than others, and that Houston team had a lot of good talent on it because they played internationally. They did a good job putting them together.
She was unstoppable.
And in that routine, and in that lineup which she had with Tina Thompson as a rebounder, a couple other big players that they had, she was the catalyst. She got the screen she needed. She could shoot from the outside. She was a female Jordan in that league. She was like the female Jordan. You could say that.
That man, look, like, man, naughty man, you read my mind. I just got to ask you if you would say she was a Michael Jordan.
She was like a Lady Jordan for sure.
Again, enough respect to you, gentlemen. I'll keep up the good work,
and,
man.
And don't make this be a last time call, man.
All
you know?
Right, buddy. Respect,
be
man.
Safe.
Respect.
Bless up.
Noddy, Juju's not eligible for the draft until 2027.
Then that means the Sparks got to stink it up for 2 more years.
Three.
No, she could come out early now because we had a couple of people come out early.
Not WNBA. Not yet.
You got to be 22. Once she's 22, she could come out early?
She's only 18.
God. Well, the Sparks got to stink it up for 4 years.
She's 19. I think she's 19 this year.
All they need to make a trade. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. We got another call. Talking Heads.
Hey, Noddy, what's up, girls?
Hey, what's going on, Mystery?
Noddy, as long as Dak Prescott is with the Dallas Cowboys will be the worst team ever in the league.
And as long as you support the Miami Dolphins with your hard, lucky, crazy sports take, they will be the pawn scum at the bottom of the league that they always are.
Mystery, why you
Mystery, I admit season four. I'm waiting on you. I don't know how to text the dicks to the Cowboys. So you don't think I you know, gun bullets in the gun right now, brother. Be careful.
Mystery, why are you antagonizing Naughty like this?
Listen, Pearly, I know Naughty, you know, but hey, facts matters. As long as Dak Prescott remain on that lineup, Dallas Cowboys will not win a Super Bowl.
Well, we could say the same thing about your quarterback, Tua.
Tua, yeah, I don't like Tua. So that's easy. And Pearly know that too. Let him go because with all the firepower we have right now, I mean, with all the receiving firepower we have right now, Tua can't handle that. All right?
Mystery.
So that's simple.
Mystery, today is the fourth day of June. 2024, write this down. Tua will win the NFL MVP this season.
Not even on sir. PlayStation, Pearly.
No, sir.
Tua will be league MVP this year.
Only in your dreams.
Pearly, I got 2 buckets of KFC. I got 2 gyros from Tropical Gyro. I got 2 lunch at your choice from Naughty Johnny's. I got 2 whatever you want from Burger King. And I got a party pass for the Joker's wife for you and 3 of your friends. If Tua win the MVP, and I wrote it down, remember that.
MVP?
Now, if he don't win it, all you have to do is come on this show and just say that Naughty Damas was right again, and I was wrong to insult his Naughty Damas powers. That's all.
Not only that, Pearly got the best supporting cast. Tua's going to have the best supporting cast, right? But Tua just can't do it. He just can't do it. No, sir.
Just listen to me carefully. The numbers, see, one thing with this game, numbers don't play. Plus, he only had 2, y'all expecting him to win in his first or second year. Doc done been there how many years in the event? How many years did it take Brady to win?
Naughty, I want you to record that statement and record the date.
It's recorded. Okay? We have it down. We have it down, Mystery. We're etched in stone.
How many years did it take Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees to win a championship?
Brady,
John Elway to win a championship.
You got to get off of that.
Peyton Manning to win a championship. Eli Manning to win a championship. How many years?
Get off of that yak. Whatever that yak is,
I'm being comparisons.
No, sir. Not two. And the Dolphins is my
Dallas team. Quarterback? What was the Dallas Cowboy quarterback who went to hell for 3 or 4 years before he won a championship? Let me hear his name.
Hey, guess what, Pearly? Guess what?
Troy Aikman?
1, 3, and 4? Naughty.
Go ahead.
I already have my tickets for the 49ers, Miami Dolphins in Miami, December 22nd. I already have my tickets. So I'm a diehard Dolphin fan. I want you to know that, Pearly. But Tua will not win MVP.
Tua will MVP. Not only win MVP, he can beat the 49ers in that game.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm down with
Sorry,
that.
Sorry, Derek.
That's what I'm going to watch. Absolutely. Y'all have a good one, guys.
All right, my brother. Be safe, Mystery.
Y'all got to look at what Miami has. Miami has a top-tier wide receiver core with a rookie coming out there who's going to be something spectacular. You've got one of the fastest. You got one of the best tight ends after catching the ball in Juno Smith. You got an excellent running back core, complimentary running back core with Achan, who's only going to get better. Tua's going to put up the numbers, and Tua's going to be the league MVP. I'm standing by that. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
All right. Pearly, we got to address this.
I can't wait till February to say I told you so.
All right. We got to address this Caitlin. We got to come up with a name for this texter. The Caitlin Corner, the Caitlin Crew. We got to figure something out. Naughty.
I have a name, but you can't say that on the radio, so I can think something a little more creative.
All right. Now, texter, you asked for the answer. I'm going to give you the brutal answer. You know how I do it. I don't know how Pearly can do it, but I can give you the brutal answer.
What's the question?
Naughty, let's have a real conversation based on ideals and opposed to looks. Angel Reese cheered when Shenity Carter pushed Caitlin down. If both you and Pearly had a daughter, who would you want your daughter to emulate and be a role model to? An Angel Reese who cheers on violence, or a Caitlin Clark who ignores all these hate and doesn't speak a negative word about her enemies? Shenity Carter still talking trash about Caitlin to this day. Well, first and foremost, if I had a daughter, I would tell her that you are the best in the world. And nobody's better than you, regardless of color, creed, religious, sexual, political, or whatever preference. You are just as good as anybody else, and the color of your skin should not hold you back.
Who started doing the John Cena thing?
But wait, let me finish. Caitlin, and I've made a career about talking smack. I've been blessed to be a comedian 27 years doing comedy. One thing about humor, one thing about talking smack, when you put it out there, it could come back to bite you in the butt. Caitlin put it out there, and it came back to bite her in the butt not once, but twice in the NCAA finals. Okay? So, yes, she comes in there with an air, and all of you are texting me, getting on me for being hard on her. If she would have won, would have said, that's good for her. She put it in Angel Reese's face. She can't say nothing, but it didn't happen. So you're in your feelings, and you're bitter. And you can carry it. Now people carry the Bird-Magic rivalry from college to the pros because Magic beat Bird in college. Get the race card out of it. I'd also tell my daughter, well, look at Caitlin and look at Angel Reese. I would definitely say, go the Angel Reese route with all that nil money and make a career for yourself prior to stepping on the court. Have a nest egg prior to getting on the court. Make that nil money in college. They exploit you and they exploit you. If you get injured, you're done. Make that nil money. Take it to the next level. So there's a lot that I would tell my daughter to embrace that Angel Reese puts out.
Let me ask the
as
text
well,
is one thing.
One second. As
no.
well as there's Go other ahead. Qualities that Caitlin has that I would say to embrace. But would I want my daughter to be fiery, outspoken, beautiful, all of that, like Angel Reese? Yeah, I would.
question.
And as far as ideas go, let me take you to an episode of Game of Thrones, Texter, with Bronn, all right? They were fighting in the Sky Castle. Bronn had to defend Tyrion's honor, and the champion was defending the queen's honor of that Sky Temple. Then they fought. Bronn killed her soldier, her champion. And he used any means in the book necessary. Because all fair and loving, why are you fighting me to kill me? I can do what I need to do. So after he pushed him through the hole in the sky and her champion dropped, she said, "You have no honor." And you know what Bronn said? No, he had honor. Yeah, he had honor. He won't fight the fair. He got dirty. If somebody get dirty, look where he is now. So you fight the fight. If you tell me I can't see you, that's fine. But be able to say it at the end of the game, I can't see you. Don't let that other person beat you. Now you can't talk. Now you got to be quiet.
Naughty, you do know that Caitlin Clark is one of the biggest trash talkers in the league, right?
Huge.
All right. So when you start saying that, and then you start saying that and trying to defend her, she brings a lot of it on herself.
The difference between her and Larry Bird is, Larry Bird used to talk his trash, back it up, and give African-American players fits.
Yep.
Some of them give still wake up to this fits. Day because that's what Larry Bird would do to them.
Yep.
And Larry Bird would tell you, you're faster than me. I can dribble right here to this far left-hand corner dead slow. I can come back. I can give you an up fake. Then I can shoot a three right in your mouth. And he'd do it repeatedly.
Yep.
And he got roughed up. And he went through the chafing. He went through all of that. So I don't want to hear this whole, you know, make it a bed of roses for Caitlin Clark. The bottom line is it started.
And make a team, a winning team, and then we stop talking it.
Exactly. There's going to be trash talkers now. Hey, if I like the trash talkers, so be it. But Caitlin started off talking trash. She just ain't backing it up.
She's not even in the top five for rookie of the year at this point.
1 point out of night, 3 points out of night. What's going on with that?
All right, the Sky and the Liberty tonight.
But we can see. Let's get these picks in real quick, Pearly. Because our take home today is Colin Cowherd all about Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. Text that was just for you. My gift from me and Pearly to you. See?
All right.
Oh, this hurts me so much, Texter. Now that we had a real conversation, now you want to tell me that RG3 says Dallas is the worst offense in the league? RG3 is one of the worst contributors in the league. That's why ESPN let him go. They let him go before the pay cuts because he sucked. Not like Michael Irvin and the rest of the crew who were pay cuts. They let him go because he sucked. So you want to come back at me now with RG3. You can't argue.
You really can come with a better argument.
No, you can't. Now, Tex, I got to wonder, are you bipolar? Table of two, your party of one, your table of two is ready because you start out talking WNBA. Me and Pearly giving you the business. Now you jump to the Cowboys like that hurts my feelings. Let me tell you, young blood, the Cowboys been stinking it up longer than you've been on earth. I was lucky enough to see when they won. So at the end of the day, you can't take it from them. Now, how you get to arguing WNBA and throw it in NFL is beyond me. That it don't work like that.
I really believe the Texter having a ball right now on us. But don't worry about it. I think he's on the ground killing himself.
I having a ball too because I know this could only be... I know that I won't meet this Texter so we could drink with them in football season.
Yeah.
They sound like they could hang with us. Sounds but just good. Don't call Caitlin Clark name because you can get your things. That's all.
And leave Angel alone.
And with that being said, we can go to the break and we can let Colin Cowherd taking us home because I got producer giving us the thumbs up. We got three in the WNBA tonight, Pearly. Let's make it happen.
The sun over the Mystic, the Sky over the Liberty, and the Merck storm. There you go.
I like the Liberty over the Sky and everything else you picked. We up out of here, man. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Dodgers over the Pirates.
And later. The Yankees against whoever they play. All right? Quick break, right. Flip side of the break. Colin Cowherd taking us home. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Talking Heads. Later, Pearly. Appreciate you.
Take time.
Is it a burger?
No. Is it pizza?
Come on, man. It's KFC. Whatever the crunch this is, it's delicious. New, the Kentucky Cheetah Sandwich. Crispy chicken topped with marinara sauce, mozzarella, and pepperoni. Order your cheetah sandwich now at KFCNow.com or at your favorite KFC restaurant today. It's new and it's radical. KFC, it's finger-licking good.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Maybe it's time to explore your options. There's no harm in reviewing your mortgage arrangement and considering a better deal. CIBC Caribbean can help you narrow your search and decide. Switch your mortgage to CIBC Caribbean and enjoy a special interest rate and help towards your switching cost. Visit CIBCFCIB.com/inspired home for more information. Conditions apply.
Refined style with elegant taste, then fine threads is your place. If you want those slacks hemmed or just taking the waist, then fine threads is your place. If you want to look suave and debonair everywhere you go, like you're supposed to be in a video. Want to step out and look great? Then fine threads is your place. Refined style with elegant taste, then fine threads is your place. Is your place. Is your place.
John's Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
Living with a neurological condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized spine care and brain tumor surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day to day, for the days you live for every care in the world. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/Caribbean.
Flavored Island Games.
We making dreams come true.
Flavored Island Games.
We paying more out to you. Don't mind the noise in the market. You getting cash in your pocket.
Cause Island Games is spicy and spicy is tradition.
So when you play
Island Games,
we putting Bahamian spice guaranteed to pay.
Island Games.
We like them other jokers. We've been here from the start, from the bike to computer.
Island Games.
We can make your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
Attention all KFC lovers. Are you ready to get crazy on Tuesdays? Now you can get 5 juicy mouth-watering pieces of KFC chicken for only $10. It's crazy. 5 pieces of world-famous KFC chicken, handmade with a secret blend of 11 herbs and spices for only $10. Don't miss out. This crazy offer is only on Tuesdays and only at KFC. KFC Nassau. It's finger-licking good.
Are you tired of the hustle and bustle of city life, yearning for a relaxing getaway without the headaches of international travel? Well, we've got just the thing for you. Escape to paradise without leaving home with our limited time to fly free offer for Bahamas residents. Whether you're craving adventure, seeking to reconnect with your roots, or simply yearning to unwind in secluded shores, the Family Islands has something for everyone. But you'd better act fast, because this incredible 2 fly free offer is only available until June 30th. Don't let this opportunity slip away. So why wait? Book your trip today. Escape the ordinary, discover the extraordinary, and experience the magic of the Family Islands. Visit BahamasResidence.com for more information and start planning your ultimate island getaway today.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The Chicago Tribune editorial board defended Caitlin Clark and said that a hard foul on her, they likened it to an assault. If this wasn't sports, it would be an assault No, it would be a flagrant foul, which the sport penalizes through free throws. Oh, boy, guys. Here's the ultimate respect that you can give Caitlin Clark. Treat her like a pro athlete, because that's what she is with a $28 million shoe deal. She's tough and she's competitive. So is Angel Reese. Stop pandering. Stop coddling. Stop protecting. WNBA players are pro athletes. We got a lot of pro leagues all over the world. They're pro athletes. Now, I hear this pushback. Well, how come you guys didn't cover us before Caitlin Clark? Because you weren't that popular. I don't cover hockey because the average sports fan can't name three players. I don't cover regular season baseball much. I don't cover college basketball, men's or women's, much before March. I'm in the omelet business. I'm not in the egg business. You need to be made before I talk about you. It's not my job to make you popular. So I will push back on, I didn't talk much golf until Tiger Woods arrived. This league needed a catalyst. WNBA got better and better and better, and so did women's basketball. I've talked about this for 15 years. It's the most improved sport in my lifetime. More young women, multiple generations, are encouraged now to get into sports, and basketball has taken off. The league just needed a catalyst, and they got it. And now we talk about it. But let's stop treating these pro athletes more like the women part instead of the pro athlete part. Caitlin Clark has acknowledged she played with boys. She's rough. She can be intimidating. There's footage on the internet of her shoving college players to the floor. There is also a racial component in this with her and Angel Reese and Kennedy Carter. That's undeniable. But she's become a screen that everybody is projecting what they want her to be instead of what she is. Tough as nails, great professional athlete. And let's not be pandering and cringy and weird. Just treat her like a pro basketball player. She's got a $28 million shoe deal, 4 or 5 national endorsements. She's going to be fine. These women are not fragile. Some of you men who are covering them are. Phil Knight's opening manifesto at Nike, he wrote 10 things when he started the company. And number 9 is my favorite. It won't be pretty. The WNBA is exploding in popularity. And it's going to be turbulent, like a tech business, a media business. Whenever anything goes from semi-noticeable to really popular, it's turbulent. You see it with individuals in the entertainment business. Now you're seeing it with a league. It's a little turbulent. It's a quickly ascending business. And they're never pretty. And they're going through their ugly stage right here with the media doesn't know what to ask, and it's cringy, and it's assault, and they're defending it. But I loved Angel Reese coming out. Her and Caitlin Clark go back to college, and she gets it. She understands what I talked about yesterday. She's willing to play the villain. There are no great movies without conflict. The more conflict, the more villains, the better the script, the better the streaming movie. She's going to be the Draymond Green. Now, Caitlin Clark, maybe she has the potential to be the star that's scoring all the points. But there's always somebody who makes movies and sports and a 7-game series and March Madness more compelling. I love the fact is this sport explodes and nobody in the media quite knows how to handle it, mostly guys who are not quite sure how to handle it. At WNBA, you got players saying, it's all love. We didn't do it in the streets. You got another one saying, I'll be the villain. Caitlin Clark saying, yeah, it's no big deal. I get knocked out all the time. I push people. They're not fragile. We are. They're tough. They're defiant. They're going to be fine. Embrace them. Have a good time. They're pro athletes. Caitlin Clark doesn't mind getting pushed down. She'll push right back. She'll get free throws. Angel Reese, I'll be the villain. Kennedy Carter, what are you guys talking about it still? We moved on. It's all love. You understand what's happening here?
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.